en besökare. Welcome, Tim Russ.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Good that you still think so. Helena has your husband is an English speaking person. He's from England. So you have
English.
To you have to help me here, Helena, if it's something I can't express.
Okay.
Express. Okay, Tim. You are here for a convention, a sci-fi convention, because you are one of the actors in Star Trek.
Yes.
This is so big.
Sorry. I'm here for the convention in Stockholm for the Star Trek show. The series has been running in the United States for the past 10 years.
More.
It's going
is
to
it
be
more?
Running. Well, we did it for 7, but it's now in syndication forever.
Yeah. And you are so happy about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Very happy about it. Plus, it's airing all over the world. I've done personal appearances in.
What's a personal appearances? Do you just show yourself and say I have been Tuvok and T'Kar and Dever?
That's it. I come in and meet the people. I mean, usually it's a very large room and everybody's sitting there, and they'll ask me questions and I'll answer them about the show.
What's the most crazy question you got?
The most crazy question?
Yeah.
I sometimes get these questions that are they're sort of enigmatic. They might ask me. They might say, "Well, you know, if you were a person who lived in the 1600s, and you came upon a spaceship and blah blah blah, you know,
okay,
it may something that where you have to sit back and kind of think about it for a minute."
Yeah.
Once in a while I get that, but most of the questions are very straightforward.
Okay.
You know?
Like
when you
what?
Yes.
Oh, like what did you? How did you think your character was developed over the 7 years? Were you happy with the way it was made? How they wrote your character over the time, you know, the stuff about how long it takes to do this. Did you crack up? Did he try to make you laugh all the time?
Did
my
they?
Character? Oh yes.
You are very serious.
The character's very serious.
You are a Vulcan, isn't it?
That was
in
a Vulcan,
in Tuvok.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tuvok.
Tuvok. Mm-hmm. What you say in English? And
she's
and thank you, Karina.
And blonde.
And the Vulcans is very serious, and what do you say?
Logical.
Logical,
yes.
Yeah. Not so much emotions. And what I have experienced from the show is that the Vulcans only get horny each seventh year.
Yes. Yes. They only prepare for sex, as it were, every 7 years. I mean, they go into heat.
Yeah. How do you find that erotic economy in yourself?
Well, fortunately, as a human being, I don't have to worry about that as far as it being every 7 years.
Every seven minutes,
maybe, but not every 7 years. The character was sort of their breeding cycle every 7 years, and ultimately they were very straightforward. They're very there's very little emotion that they ever showed any given time. So
isn't that boring for you?
Well, yeah, it is to do it all the time. Yeah, as an actor, speaking as another actress, we train as actors, you know, to do our craft. We're trained to show emotions. We're trained to feel and show them. And this entire time I worked on the show, I was not showing them. That was the whole idea. So everything was done very, very subtle. Everything was underplayed, and that's the way the character was.
Have you ever been in a love story with your character?
Yes. There was an episode
really?
Where we had more or less a love story. It wasn't really...
Was it the seventh year?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my.
It was.
There was the character, my
they
character...
just shook hands. Dead duck.
My character was actually married in the storyline.
Yeah.
I had a wife and I had two children, so... you know, there was a storyline in which I was stranded on a planet, and there was an alien woman who was there, and she liked me very much.
Which kind of alien? Was she human or?
Yeah, she was human.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
She was no
alien for the Vulcans.
Yes, and and you know, she liked me a lot, and she wanted to express her feelings for me, but I could not return the favor, and that was the way it was. So
now I got very specific, but the Vulcans—you can only have children. That
every
is 7 years, 14 years, 21 years. Is
yeah, I think true? Theoretically, yes.
Yeah.
You would only have them every 7 years.
I'm so happy you are a human being. Never forget that. Is Mr. Spock alive, by the way?
Yes, he is. Leonard Nimoy is alive and well. And I just ran into him about 3 or 4 months ago at another convention. And spoke
that's
to him
where
recently.
You meet.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We all meet each other going in and out of these shows. And so, and he's doing well. He's, you know, he's still doing right now television commercials. On,
okay, I want to talk about you. Really,
yeah,
but
no problem.
Nice to say Mr. Spock. It's a nice
everybody
name,
knows
you know?
That character. And that's what my character is based on. The one that he plays.
She just knew how to pronounce Mr. Spock.
That's so that's why I said
it.
It. She's so full of truth. But do you ever get scared of your fans? Do they get a bit too?
No, because at the convention, you know, they might, some of them might be really fanatical, mm-hmm. and very specific about, you know.
Do they cry and scream?
No, they get very excited sometimes, and they're, you know, very enthusiastic. And
do they speak Klingon to you?
I've had them speak Klingon to me.
Speak Klingon?
No, I don't speak any Klingon. What they'll do is they'll ask me sometimes really obscure questions, like, you know, in episode such and such, why did the ship do this and that when it can't do this and that? And I,
oh my
like,
God.
Well, I didn't write it. I just just act in it. So you do get that kind of thing once in a while, yeah, from some people who are very, very intense.
Are you afraid then to let your own kids watch Star Trek when you meet those kind of fans?
No, not at all, because, you know, it's an individual thing. Everybody's got a certain degree in which they get into it.
Yeah.
Some people, hey, you know what? I know some people that play golf religiously.
That's really ugly.
Think about it.
Star Trek.
If you go to a football game, right? I mean, the States it's football, or maybe here it might be soccer or whatever, and in the end of the stands, they've got people painted up with, you know, paint over their face, and they're screaming and hollering like they're berserk. And that's pretty much the
strange
same kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of about the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, you don't play golf, do you?
No, I don't play golf.
Great. Please don't start. I think golf is not
stay.
It's not a sport, it's an illness. But don't tell. I know you're a singer also.
Yes.
You are not. You are more famous for Star Trek than for a singer in Sweden. Why haven't you been here to promotion or?
We did a tour about 3 years ago. I did it with Neil, a band, the guy whose company I did the record under, which is Crescendo Records. And we did tour. We toured Great Britain, Scotland, and Holland, and Germany as well.
That's
so we didn't
Sweden.
Get a chance to get to Sweden. Unfortunately, at the time, we only had that tour set up for us for those areas. So we didn't get a chance to get there.
That's why it's good that you brought the record.
I have a CD here.
Are going to listen to it. This is
Kush and Geza.
What's that?
Kush and Geza is Swahili for amazing.
Oh, I thought it was Klingon. Oh.
No.
Sorry. Just mixed up. We listen.
Yeah, you could double for it, yeah.
And open my eyes and kept all the demons at bay. My ally in life. So many times she would say, boy, that's not right. Mother, without your touch, it's so cold inside. Our lady takes my hand, fragile embrace. Her voice leads me through the haze, a champion's grace. Messenger in my dreams, she comes to life. Lover, without your touch, it's so cold inside. Cushion gazer, amazing. My patron saint, my friend and my sage. What I really feel, I often hide. Sister, without your touch, it's so cold inside. Cushion gaze. Amazing. Amazing. She was a stranger then, so tiny and frail. My soul is hostage now.
Was, say it again, Kush and Geza.
Kush and Geza. Yeah.
Klingon for very good music. Did you like it, Helena? Helena is our musical interpreter in this program.
I thought it sounded, it was a little bit like the Lion King feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit like that.
Yeah. Mm, I really liked it. That was a nice, I liked the music very much. Thank you.
Yeah, it
very
was a bit filmy. What is pompa and ståt on English? How do you say that?
I haven't got a clue.
Pomp and circumstance, probably. In English.
For which?
No, very
big.
Pump.
Big. Pompous.
Grand. Grand, yes.
Grand. Okay. Grand.
Thank you.
Oh. This is sometimes a show where we learn new English words. We learn English in school, but it was a long time since we went to school, so it's hard, you know, to just get it going.
It was a long time since you went to school.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. But I have to ask, because you were Tuvok, Is it a bit problem that your music maybe will get in the shadow of your Star Trek appearance? Is that a problem for the rest of your career?
The music is not a full-time pursuit. It is something that I'm doing now out of pure enjoyment. I mean, the fans are a major outlet for the music. I mean, they're the ones that do a lot of the purchasing of the music. Mm. You know, I have had some airplay in the States, but it's not a full-time pursuit. I'd be on the road full time. I'd be touring. I'd be, you know, opening for other bands. I'd have a record company behind me and spending a lot of money in promotion to get it. It would be a full time job to do it professionally. So I'm not pursuing it professionally. Okay. I do
it. But do you any other acting job?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a couple of parts on independent films just in the last 6 months, and a lot of directing in the past 2.5 years. I've been directing for television. Back in the States, I direct for Discovery Channel shows, a couple of their shows.
And, you know, I read that Tim Russ is here, I should say. Tim Russ from Star Trek, and Tim Russ, as we heard in the song also. But I heard that you are a director also, director.
Yes, that's right.
And one of the things you have directed is a ballet instruction video.
No, I didn't. I produced it. I didn't direct it. It was actually for my sister. It was her project.
Okay.
She put it together, and I helped her produce it.
Is she a ballet dancer?
No, she is an entrepreneur. She's done. She has released a number of children's projects, musical projects, and it's called BridgeClub.com. She does a lot of stuff: children's CDs, music CDs. She does a ballet series, 1, 2, and 3. And she produces and distributes these things on her own. And I've helped her out a couple times.
It feels like you have a very tight family tie, because your mother-in-law was in here taking pictures
for the family album. That's right.
Yeah. Hi.
Documenting every move.
What's
here
her name?
In Stockholm. That's Marie Townsend.
Hello, Marie.
Hello, Marie. Hi. And that's Bernie with her.
Thank you. Can I come and watch the pictures? Are you from England?
Yeah.
I can come over, and Helena and Karina maybe. We can take a tour and just look, if we look nice on the pictures.
And Jetta's in there.
Who is that?
Jetta, my girlfriend Jetta. That's
Hello,
her parents.
Hello, Jetta. Yeah. Jetta, that's like a, Star Trek name.
Yeah.
Star Wars. I know, but I mean.
Jedi in Star Wars, yeah. Yeah. Jetta. And she and I produced a children's project also called Bugsters, which we've been promoting. We're just about to release the newest version of it in the States in about the next 3 weeks. So it's a children's musical sort of audiobook story project.
You do a lot of things, don't you?
That's what we do.
That's what
Lots
we do.
Lots of projects.
You sound a bit tired. Are you tired?
I am a little bit tired because I just flew in yesterday and from the
jet
States.
Jet-lagged.
And definitely jet-lagged.
Okay, I will let you go. But
No, I'm fine.
To ask one more thing. Do you believe in teleportation?
Teleportation?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a real question. I'm really interested in teleportation because I hate to fly with charter, you know.
Yes, well, I would like to teleport because I hate the L.A. traffic.
Yes.
I'd love to be able to get back and forth without having to drive. Actually, I believe that the scientists so far have been able to teleport a proton.
Yeah, I know.
A photon,
yeah,
a light
photon,
particle.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been able to do that. So, who knows?
I know. The photon is just a little bit smaller than me.
Yeah. Yeah, if they rely on computers to do it, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But
okay.
You know, they can't get mine to work properly, so I'm not sure if I'd want to scramble my molecules in a.
No, I have said that I try to go to Mallorca with my 1.5-year-old kid,
mm-hmm.
and then I thought if they think teleportation is hard, they have never traveled with kids on planes. So I have said that if they want to try on a human being, they can try on my husband. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much for coming, Tim Russ.
Good luck. It's my pleasure.
Have a nice convention.
Thank you very much. We'll be running here in Stockholm over the next 3 days, I think starting this evening. I think it's at the convention center. I want to say the convention center. Is that it?
What's that?
It's the actual
Star Trek Convention Center.
The actual place where we are going to be.
Well, you know, Tim.
Yep.
You are... Årsta Folkets Hus.
Is that the place?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
There it is.
You're very good at promoting yourself. I should go in a course. What do you say? Kurs.
Course.
I'm very bad at promoting myself. You have got, five things about you and your family just in 10 minutes.
I've got a mic here and it's all on. You guys do your whole show in English as well, yeah?
No.
Yes.
Is it?
No. But we will. When Howard Stern is done, we will come.
Fabulous.
Thank you, Tim.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Oj, vad jag är hungrig. Lunch i Petra.